So let's look at communion this morning. I just put two scripture verses up, just as they're the most famous ones, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And let's read the next one as well. Colossians 2:11, "In him also we were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead." May God bless his holy, infallible word. There's so many scriptures that I could start with, but I just want to start there. The command of God, because of the authority of Christ, he commands us to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So baptism, and I'm talking to the choir here, and most of you, I believe, have been baptized in water. We'll talk a little bit about what we teach and what we believe the scripture teaches on it. But just as a beginning point, it's a command of God. Jesus tells us to go and to baptize and to take that message to the ends of the earth. And he never stopped. You know, as a church, we have a couple of ordinances we do, the water baptism and communion. We believe God commanded us to do that, keep on doing that. We see through church history from the time of Christ right down through till today, those teachings, those practices are still committed and done today. And they still have meaning and purpose today for our lives. And because of the authority of Christ and because of who Christ is, his command to do it, we do it. And we obey him. It's as simple as that. And I'll talk a little bit about what baptism is, but I just don't want it to become a doctrine, a teaching, which is fine. We need to understand why we do what we do. But it has to be coming out of this place of who we are in Christ. And so I've started with that's my sermon, 5 points, but I'm not going to stick to them very much. I'm giving you heads up. But let's look at what do we believe about baptism? What do we believe concerning water baptism? What does it signify? Well, that we believe that baptism was initiated by the Lord as a symbol of our initial Christian experience. Most importantly, baptism identifies the believer with Jesus Christ, which includes being united with him through his death, his resurrection, and his life. And by following the example of Jesus of being baptized, a Christian also expresses his desire to follow the Lord each day in obedience. Hallelujah. Okay, so what does that mean? That sounds nice, but that's what we believe baptism signifies. And I put the first one up there, identity. I think it's a word that people use a lot today. It's floating around quite a bit. I identify as a male. I identify as a woman. I identify with something. I think of it as an example. You know, when we were young, I thank God for my parents. My father was just a plain farmer, rough beggar. Fighter, drinker, but worked hard and solid and honest as honest could be. They treated everybody the same. And I often say, I thank God for that characteristic of my dad. He could be with the Queen of England and he would treat her the same as Tim Nelson's father in Black Falls, which sir, I shouldn't even have named the name, but they're long passed away, so I'm not offending anyone who was to be in it. The best example I have is their yard was always a mess. They just lived outside of Black Falls. And sorry, if you're related to them, I shouldn't have named them, but nobody knows them, so it's okay. And they're an amazing family. We loved their family. And he was a plumber, and his yard was, you know, one of these yards out in the countryside where you see, you know, and the town around was growing and getting closer, and so people started to complain, and they went to the town council, and they got to clean up Mr. Nelson's yard. They got to get after him. So they call him in. It's a big meeting. You know, the town is stressful. So what he did, make a long story short, he He lined up all his toilets, which were in the yard, in a circle around his whole yard, and all the bathtubs and pipes, and then he put flowers in them all. And nobody could ever complain again. But my point is, when they had birthday parties, they didn't have a lot of people show up. And our parents would buy, why are you buying such, I didn't even get such a present for my birthday. And we would go to that birthday party, and sometimes I was the only one there, and I'd have a big present. And I remember thinking, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. My parents were never ashamed to identify with the outcast, with the least, and I said, grew up with that, and I'm saying, I want that, and I want that for my kids. And for me, that's an example of what baptism means. It means that we identify ourselves with Christ. And I had a video I was going to put up, but this is the long weekend, the sun's shining. We don't want to be in here very long today. Hallelujah. We want to join all our friends outside enjoying those rascals. Usually it rains on long weekends, and I'm quite happy about it, but it's actually quite nice. But we identify with Jesus. It's like, you know, when you pick teams in school and you're the last guy left standing over there. It's never happened to me, but no. You're the last guy. Pick me. But that's just a silly example. But you got the guy that nobody wants to be with, and we go over and we identify with him. Does that make sense? Identify with Christ. See, these day and age, we put up crosses on our church. We wear them on our necks. They're kind of a symbol of holy things, of nice things. But the cross is not that symbol when you're being crucified on it, when you are hung between thieves, when your life is taken from you in the most brutal way that the Roman Empire could imagine, hanging someone on a cross, dying, being mocked and spit on and hated, and then we come over and we identify with that. That's what baptism is. It's telling the world that we belong to Jesus. We identify with him. We identify with his cross. We identify with his death. We identify with surrendering our lives to God's will. Whatever that means, we identify with him. That's what baptism means. We identify that we are different. We identify that we do not belong to this world. And, you know, that sounds spooky when you say that. And I've used the example many times of my friend in Evansburg there. Oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm not of this world. Yeah, you're just weird. You are of this world. But you know what I mean when I say we are in this world, but we are not of it. We identify with who Jesus is. We identify with heaven. We identify with the things of God. That we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price for us, that he was buried in the ground, and on the third day he rose again. That's what baptism identifies with. And in the world's mind, the Greek mind, it is foolishness. From the days of Paul, they thought they were lunatic. They were foolish. And for the Jews, it was a stumbling block. It was like, it was too much, this Jesus and blood and death. And they're waiting for this Messiah and this man who's going to come and put the Romans down and take over the world. And Paul comes along and he tells them both, no, we identify with Christ, the one you crucified. He's the Lord and Savior. The one who died a brutal death, he's the one that we identify with. And we are prepared to die with him. And if you read through history, what baptism means. I used to have a friend who loved church history, Gordon Weave, and he used to love telling me the story because that was his roots. The Anabaptists. And how they said, okay, you want to be baptized, there's this whole fight over baptism and immersion and all that, and the breakaway from the traditional church. And they said, okay, you want to be baptized? Took them to the North Sea and they drowned them in the ice water. Said, okay, that's what you want? Here's the picture of baptism. They're lined up. You and me are lined up in some country. I don't even want to name names right now, where it's very anti-Christian. And you say, okay, Here's the baptismal tank. Who's ready to be baptized? But when you come out of that water, we're taking you to this pit over here, and we're shooting you. How many volunteers? Exactly. We will line up and say, I identify with this. You know, it's not that dramatic today, but that's what it means. That's what we're telling our friends. That's what we tell our family. That's what we tell people publicly when we go into the baptismal tank and we are baptized. Say, I identify with this. I take my stand here. Live or die, this is what I believe. And so, you know, we can take baptism quite lightly, and it's like, oh, do I feel like it? Do I not? You know, no, it's serious. Men and women have given their life to testify that they identify, that they belong to Jesus. Amen? Second thing is it's a command. Jesus tells us in His Word to obey, to follow Him. I could take you to many scriptures. Jesus was baptized. He's our example. He asks us and calls us to follow Him in obedience. All I want to say about that is Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers. None of us has a problem with that. Jesus touches the world. But you know what? He asks us to obey, to trust, to love, and to be His hand extended. God's working in the world today, but the way He chooses to do it is through us. The way He heals, the way He delivers, the way He blesses is by us following Him, trusting Him, and loving Him. We put into action that which He's commanded us to do. Amen? So when we talk about baptism, it's not just the teaching of the church. It's this amazing thing that represents and identifies. Then we must go and do it. We must obey God and follow in His footsteps and follow His commands. So here's a second question related to this. Does one become a Christian by being baptized? No. We believe no one is ever saved by being baptized. An individual becomes a Christian when by the grace of God he puts his trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And there's many scriptures about that. But apart from faith, the act of being baptized has no spiritual benefit in and of itself. It's a picture of the reality of our faith, the reality of our decision to follow Christ. It's a picture, outward expression of what happened inwardly in our life. But there are spiritual blessings, however, when we are baptized because of a desire to obey and serve God. I can remember the day I was baptized at Sandy Lake Camp back in 1974 in the summer in Sandy Lake. Right now you probably have a hard time being baptized. It's so swampy and shallow. Half of the lake's gone. But I can remember going and standing on that beach and what that meant, telling the whole world that I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. And then putting it into practice and actually doing what I said I'd do and being baptized. And it, for me, as a newborn believer, a new Christian, just trying to understand the Bible, understand all this, it just put into place a whole series of events in our lives. It's like Jordan's testimony of his dad, where You take one step of obedience, it leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And it set a pattern in our lives that if the Word of God teaches this, if the Word of God speaks to us, the Logos Word as well as the Rhema Word, if God comes and impresses something on your heart and speaks to you, you respond and you obey and you do it. And baptism is just one of those initial steps of a new believer to say, I'm going to follow Christ and serve Him and you obey Him. And there's power in that. It's not salvation, but there is power in working out that salvation, of living that out in the world that we live in today. When should you be baptized? Who should be baptized? We believe in believer's baptism. I don't say adult baptism. I don't say child baptism. I say believer's baptism because it is an outward expression of what you believe. I was baptized as a Catholic child. Sorry, I almost fell down there. Good thing I'm so athletic. I caught myself. Hey, it's been a long weekend. But when I got saved in 1974, no one had to talk to me. No one taught me. No one challenged me on it. I knew from the Scripture for the first time in my life that as a believer, I needed to obey God and follow Him into the waters of baptism. Baptism should be one of the first steps of being a disciple after one becomes a Christian. We believe the Bible teaches that an individual is to be baptized after he or she has been born again and has expressed faith. And I could take you to Acts 2 and 8 and 9. They believed and were baptized. Sometimes it was very close together. And sometimes, depending on circumstances, it's not. And, you know, I'm not going to stand here and argue with you. It's, you know, you've come from Europe somewhere and you're baptized as an adult still with sprinkling and the method was, I'll get to the method. You have to find faith and find what's got reality for you. But I knew in my life I needed to go into the waters of baptism. And every believer must do that. Any individual, including a child, who gives a credible profession of faith in Christ and understands the basic meaning of baptism, may be baptized. So it's not an age thing, although it is an understanding and a personal thing with God. So it comes to what's the best way to be baptized? Well, the word itself means to be immersed. Baptizo means to be submerged. It means to be immersed. They use it in the same way you would use, you dye cloth. You take your cloth, you prepare your dyes, and you baptize it. You immerse that cloth into it until it's soaked, until it gets into it, and then you bring it out, and the cloth is changed. So it's difficult to explain baptizo. It's difficult to explain be immersed in water without water, without going into the river like Jesus, down into the river, and I've been baptized. The song says, let's all sing together. You go into the water and you are submerged. You are buried. And that's why we believe in immersion, because it's literally what the word means. It means to be immersed. It means to be put into. And it's also the best picture of being buried. It's also that idea of we were buried with Christ. We died to ourselves, the old life, the old way. It's a picture of what we've done by faith in Christ, what Christ did in us. And we were dead with Him and we've been raised again to new life with Him. It's the perfect picture. And so that's why we encourage and we would teach, be baptized by immersion, by being put into the water. Others may have different views. That's okay. You can argue with me. We can go and look at Scripture. And I've already said what the original meaning of the word meant. So let me end with number 5. I've been going through my points. You just didn't notice it. Obedience, outward sign of inward reality, and lived out every day. And I want to end with this by saying, as a Christian, we have got to live out our Christian faith. I said Jesus is a healer, but, you know, could I just put it in perspective? God's not moved by need. He's moved by faith. Need is everywhere. Need for health, need for healing is everywhere. God is a God of deliverance, but He asks us to trust Him. He's a God who gives victory, but He asks us to put our faith in Him. He asks us to take steps. He can come in and just break into circumstance, but if you look at the stories in the Bible, it was as a response to faith. It was a response to them acting. It was a response to them living out their life, and God came in. It was a response to prayer. It's a response to obedience to God. And so I would just leave it here this morning by saying to you, if you've never been baptized in water by immersion, ask God to show you. Ask God to speak to you about it. If you've never been saved, if you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus, which this baptism represents, I would encourage you this morning to ask Him to show you the meaning of salvation, to show you what it means to say, Jesus Christ, be Lord and Savior of my life. Come into my life and save me. Deliver me. I'm going to end with my story at the beginning with a young couple in St. Paul on a mission trip. Completely not going anywhere to find Jesus. And God intersects their life. He speaks to them through circumstance. My circumstance were completely different. Living on a farm in Black Falls, 1974, saves my brother. Changes his life completely. Up here, Doug's dad. Up here in Edmonton at university. Attends a church service and God just... The question's asked, if you were to die today, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready? It was Lori's dad preaching. See how small this world is? And it's her father preaching on the second coming of Christ. And they give the simplest of invitations. But you know that you need Jesus to be Lord of your life. My brother Brian puts up his hand. It was 1974 in April. And he was wearing big work boots. He was in construction. He had hair hanging down worse than Herman. So easy on the front row there. And he just comes stumbling down the aisle and he stands in the front. And Valerie, who's Doug's mom now and was in the service, thought that my brother Brian was Irene, my sister's husband, because they'd come together. And so she's praying for him and she's saying in her heart, it'll never last. He's not serious. He's standing up here in a big old hairy work coat, just standing there. Very irreligious, very unchurched, know nothing of church. He's standing at the front, and Lori's father prays for him, and Val's praying for him, who later became his wife, and she's honestly saying, it's not going to last. Inside, everything changed. Everything. New creature, new in Christ. You can't even explain the mystery. Teaching at this wedding, preaching at the wedding yesterday, and it's talking about husbands and wives, and this is the mystery of Christ and His church. And it just hit me standing there thinking, how do you explain that? How do you explain the mystery of Christ and His church? How do you explain the mystery of a husband and a wife becoming one and being knit together in that covenant and what it means to God and what it means in life? How do you explain that and how important that is? And the mystery of Jesus and His church. And my brother was saved that day. Changed, born again, whatever term works for you. Everything inside changed. And he came home and he told me about it on our farm. And he said, do you want Jesus? And I said, yeah. And he says, you want to be a Christian? I said, yeah. He says, well, then I guess you are. And that's it. That's 40 years ago. Whatever. What's 74? No. How many years is that? My math, she's not so good no more. That's a long time ago. So long ago, I can't remember. And my life was changed. And we went to camp that summer and walked into the water. We're wearing these white, you know, we always wore white baptismal suits. That when you went in the water, they disappeared. You know those ones? I don't know why. Couldn't they come up with better material or what? Thank God. We do have good t-shirts that say, I have decided, and they're black. So no matter what color clothes you come with, you're going to put on one of those t-shirts and they will not become see-through and it will be a beautiful thing. But just to obey Jesus and to follow Him. And so I say this morning just straight simply, if you have not given your life to Jesus, He's calling to you. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to save you, deliver you, give you victory in your life. That's what Jesus does. What He asks is for us to respond, to take a step and say, yes, I put my trust in You. Yes, I will follow You with my life. Yes, I will be baptized. Yes, yes. It's a life of saying yes. And baptism is just a symbol of that. Let's pray together. Father,